Radio Prague News.
Unemployment in the Czech Republic has fallen to 5%. MPs want the government to be able to send troops abroad without parliamentary approval. And UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson is due in Prague on Friday. Unemployment in the Czech Republic fell to 5.0% in October, down from 5.2% in September. Just over 366,000 people were out of work last month. That's the lowest figure since December 2008. Meanwhile, the number of jobs available was at its highest level for October in 9 years. The positive development on unemployment is being attributed to economic growth that has led to employers taking on large numbers of new workers. A group of coalition MPs have put forward an amendment to the Czech constitution, under which the government alone would have the power to send Czech soldiers abroad. At present, such moves require the approval of both Houses of Parliament. Its drafters say the amendment would make it easier for the state to react to crisis situations. In view of great changes in the security sphere in recent years, such crises may arrive most unexpectedly, they said. The amendment enjoys cross-party backing. UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson is set to visit Prague on Friday for talks with his Czech counterpart, Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek. Mr. Johnson will be the first British minister to come to the Czech Republic since the UK's vote in June to leave the European Union. And the two men are expected to discuss the situation stemming from that decision. The Czech Republic is pushing for its citizens to be allowed the same right to work in the UK as at present, once Brexit actually happens. In September, the Czech National Bank carried out its third largest intervention on the currency markets since launching a policy to keep the Czech crown weak against the euro in November 2013. The central bank spent 99.5 billion crowns, ensuring the crown remained at around 27 to the common European currency, officials revealed on Tuesday. The Czech National Bank has signaled that it will abandon the policy, which benefits exporters, in the first half of next year. The Czech power giant ČEZ recorded a net profit of 14.7 billion crowns in the first 3 quarters of this year, according to data it released on Tuesday. That figure represented an 11% fall in profits compared to the same period in 2015. Meanwhile, ČEZ's revenues dropped by 5% year-on-year in the January to October period. The declines have been blamed on shutdowns at the firm's nuclear power stations. ČEZ, which is majority owned by the Czech state, is the country's biggest energy producer. And finally, a look at the weather. It should be fair on Wednesday with temperatures of up to 4 degrees Celsius expected. Daytime highs should be similar in the following days, with some snow expected in places. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, we look at whether there's progress on the controversy at Leti Farm. Later, we look at whether Czechs have bunker mentality. And after, we look at whether the name Czechia is making a place for itself. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czech Culture Minister Daniel Herman has indicated significant progress made in negotiations aimed at removing a pig farm from the site of a former Romani concentration camp. The presence of the farm at Leti, South Bohemia, has plagued several administrations and elicited sharp criticism from the European Commission. Daniela Lazareva reports.
The shameful presence of a pig farm at the site of a concentration camp where some 1,300 Romanis were interned during World War II and where hundreds of them died in inhumane conditions while others were sent to gas chambers in Auschwitz has been a thorn in the side of many Czech governments. The 20-year futile drive to find a solution, either through a buyout or a transfer of the farm to a different location, recently came under fire from 80 MEPs who called on the European Commission to secure the farm's removal, since the Czech authorities were clearly unable to do so. A few months ago, the government indicated it was close to finding a solution, and Culture Minister Daniel Herman has now revealed that a key hurdle in negotiations had been removed, and the government was ready to discuss the cost of a buyout.
I was asked to secure an expert evaluation of the land and property in view of making an offer to the farm's owners. Preliminary negotiations have taken place with the owners, and the fact that they are now willing to discuss a buyout is a big step forward. The two sides have tentatively discussed the cost, which is why we are getting an expert evaluation, but I cannot reveal any details for fear of marring the negotiations.
Although the owners had originally insisted on a new pig farm being built elsewhere, the firm's representative Jan Čech told Czech television they would wait and see what kind of offer the government was ready to make on the grounds of the expert evaluation.
The
evaluation is a prerequisite for a debate in the government as concerns the financial offer. As I see it, it will serve as the basis for further negotiations on a sales deal. If the price is interesting, then we can take the respective steps to reaching an agreement. If it is not, we will make our demands known.
The firm is in a good negotiating position. The Sobotka government has indicated that it will do its utmost to secure the farm's removal before its term in office ends in 2017. And according to Culture Minister Daniel Herman, there is now a drive to reach a firm deal ahead of the annual commemorative act that takes place in Lehti in early May, which would enable the Prime Minister to announce that the problem had finally been resolved. Whether the Minister for Human Rights and Minorities, Jiří Dienstbier, who had been tasked with finding a solution to the problem, will be there to savour the moment is unclear. There is speculation that Mr. Dienstbier could be one of the ministers forced to go in a pending cabinet reshuffle. Culture Minister Herman, who was commissioned by the government to secure an expert evaluation of the land and property, on Monday denied any link, saying that his ministry was naturally involved in view of the fact that the memorial to be built there would in future fall under the administration of the Ministry of Culture.
Daniela Lazareva there on apparent progress on the long-running Lehti saga. Now, for years now, the Czech army has been selling off, or in some cases donating, concrete military bunkers built in the 1930s. Originally, they were to have served as key fortifications against Nazi Germany, but they were never put to the test. There are now some 5,000 such pillboxes in the Czech Republic, one-fifth of which are now in private hands, and more than 360 bunkers were sold in the last year and a half. Jan Wellinger reports.
Surveys in the past have suggested that some Czech households have trouble saving, so you might think that a military bunker built in the 1930s, regardless of its historic value, would not be the first thing on the family shopping list. For some, though, obtaining a bunker has proven tempting. The Czech army has continued to sell off fortified bunkers in border areas, and many have jumped at the chance to own a bunker of their own. Jan Malek told Czech TV how he obtained his in the region of Uski, as it lay on his family's land, so that bunker was free. But even then, his wife wasn't sure obtaining it was such a good idea. Here's what he told the broadcaster.
She said, "I don't have money for diapers, but you need a machine gun."
The new owner is determined to restore his bunker to its former glory. To that end, he repainted it in camouflage colors and obtained an historic periscope to be able to scope the surrounding countryside. He even replaced the original armored door. The owner again.
For this, I had to go all the way to Ostrava, so it can be quite time-consuming.
For some, obtaining a military bunker is like building a shed in the backyard, except instead of being used for DIY projects, the bunker is the DIY project. The going price, if you're interested, it varies. Petr Medek is the spokesman for the country's defense ministry.
Generally speaking, bunkers sell from between 2,000 and 40,000 crowns. Prices vary depending on where they're located and what kind of shape they're in.
And bunkers in good condition could still serve their original function even now. Historian Václav Houfek.
According to the technical parameters, they were built to directly withstand 150 or 155 millimeter shells, so they should be able to survive a blast from a tank even today. Václav Houfek there, ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Now it's time for our regular feature In Focus, and Ruud Frankova looks at whether, after 6 months, the shortened geographical name for the Czech Republic, Czechia, is taking off.
The shorter geographical version of the name Czech Republic, Czechia, was approved by the government in April this year and entered in the UN database of geographical names a few months later. The move, intended to end confusion abroad regarding the short version of the country's name, raised little interest among the general public and received plenty of criticism in the media on the argument that it was unnecessary, that it should have come immediately after the breakup of Czechoslovakia in 1993, or that it should have been decided in a referendum. The debate was recently reopened by an article by the British Daily Guardian, which claimed the Czech Republic's new name, Czechia, had failed to catch on, a sentiment later echoed by an article published in the Czech daily Lidové noviny. I took to the streets of Prague to ask both the locals and tourists how they liked the new name Czechia, and first caught up with a group of young Israeli tourists in Wenceslas Square.
How do you call this country?
Czech.
You call it Czech?
Yeah.
But actually, it has just been approved that the official short name of the Czech Republic is Czechia. How do you like this name?
Czechia?
It's nice, yeah.
It's very nice.
Czechia.
Czechia.
In Israel, we call it
Czechia.
In Israel, we call it Czechia, yes.
Czechia, it's similar.
Another tourist, a middle-aged teacher from Germany, told me she too was unaware of the debate surrounding the country's geographical name.
In German, I say Czechian. It's not yet in our school books. It says Czech Republic, as far as I can remember.
How do you like the sound of Czechia?
It sounds a bit like Czechian. I don't mind it. It's okay.
And finally, the opinion of a young Czech father.
Nelíbí. Já bych zůstal u toho, který byl.
I don't like it. I would stick with the former name. It is more dignified, and it sounds nicer. Czech Republic definitely leads. It simply is better.
Je lepší.
The latter argument reflects the opinion of many Czechs who misunderstood the decision taken by the government, thinking that the new name Czechia was conceived to replace the Czech Republic. Kristina Larišová from the Foreign Ministry says that this is of course not the case. She says having two names for a country, an official as well as a geographical shorter version, is common in most countries around the world. According to Ms. Larišová, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs simply wanted to make the international public aware of the proper translation of the Czech word Česko. She also dismisses the most common argument against Czechia, which is that it sounds too much like Chechnya.
This is a very famous argument about Chechnya, and we know that there is a lack of geographical knowledge behind, because you have a lot of words in English with CH, which is spelled like K, and you have simply learned it. And this argument is not a good reason for not using our own short country name. There are many examples of countries that have perhaps similar names. For example, Mali, Malawi, Slovenia, Slovakia, and so on.
Now, 6 months on, do you think the name Czechia is actually catching on?
First of all, let me make your audience aware of one important fact. The short name Czechia has been normally and frequently used since many years in other world languages. For example, German, Russian, French, Italian, Arabic and so on. But what is the international language of today? It's English. And I admit we can still see some deficit on that front. But frankly, I didn't expect such a huge impact of the publication in the two UN country name databases. We are very glad to see that the short name has been used more and more. Step by step, it has been spreading in the world.
Can you give me perhaps some examples?
There are very important examples where Czechia was adopted already. For example, the US State Department, it uses Czechia on its website. Other example is the CIA World Factbook or the British Permanent Committee on Geographical Names. And finally, one more example, and this is a very important one, it's the International Organization for Standardization. The IOS included Czechia as well. This is an independent, non-governmental organization. And why it is so important, this organization has published more than 20,000 international standards. It covers almost every industry, from technology to healthcare and so on. And these standards, they are very instrumental in facilitating international trade. So just to sum it up, you can see the progress of Czechia yourself. Just type Czechia to Google and you get millions of mentions. And the number is rising.
So would you say there is actually any need to somehow enforce the use of the word Czechia by authorities or diplomatic missions and so on?
I would like to give you an example. The sport could play an important role in this issue because our country is very visible in this field internationally. Now, if our athletes showed up in jerseys with Czechia, and if the score displays showed Czechia, it would be very helpful. But the question is, should the officials give such instructions? And we as the Ministry of Foreign Affairs are perhaps not the right body to dictate anybody to use it. Of course, we express our preference, which is in line with the conclusions of experts on country branding. At the same time, we can hardly force anybody.
Okay, and finally, do you yourself use the word Czechia when you speak about our country?
If the question is concerning me personally, I try to use it as frequently as possible. But talking about our ministry and about us as diplomats, frankly, our goal is to promote Czechia where it is right in place. That means in informal speeches, print releases, marketing publications, and so on. The context is important. If you have, for example, an international treaty or another legal document, you won't use Czechia because what is correct is using the formal name. I can see your point. It's perfectly true that only if we ourselves use it, Czechia will catch on. And I'm rather optimistic in this.
One of the diplomats who have been strongly in favour of using the word Czechia is Jiří Šitler, the Czech ambassador to Sweden. Mr. Šitler also highlights the need for a country to have two names, both political and geographical. When asked why it has raised so much opposition in his home country, he says Czechs simply like to debate and doubt any decision that comes from the government.
The only argument, which I think is somehow, from my point of view, acceptable, is that some people don't like the sound of it. It's very subjective, but it's perfectly legitimate. But if you look more carefully into this argument, then you can see that those people very often, it's not the ending ia they don't like, it's the whole word, like Czech and the orthography of it with CZ, etc., etc. But we have it in the political name, the Czech Republic, too. This is not going to change. This is something what's used in English since the 17th century, actually. The first time the word was used in English, it was in a geographical treatise which described Bohemia and mentioned that the Czechs themselves call themselves Czechians and that they don't use the word Bohemians and since then.
According to Mr. Šitler, however, the debate about the use of Czechia does not concern the general public in the Czech Republic as much as the international community.
It's not, of course, about the general public in the Czech Republic. Czech people usually don't use English that much. According to Eurobarometer, only 18% of Czech citizens have a sufficient knowledge of the English language. That, of course, doesn't prevent the other 82% to have a very strong opinion about the English name of the country. The question is if it's going to be used internationally. And so far, it was recommended by the Permanent Committee on Geographical Names in the UK. It's used on the CIA webpage, on the webpage of the State Department. It was entered into the various UN databases, and it started to be used by diplomatic missions in Prague and foreign ambassadors based in Prague. So I think it has a big chance to become commonly used geographical short name for what we call Česko in the Czech language, but it will take years. It has been entered into the UN databases only 4 months ago. This is a really very short time.
When asked if he uses the word Czechia himself, the Czech ambassador says that it comes quite naturally, since it is very similar to the word used in Swedish.
Swedes actually use it in English, so it sounds perfectly natural here. In Swedish, they call our country Czechian. They use this word since the 19th century already. And in English, because Swedes are usually very fluent in English, they kind of somehow naturally use the short version of the name Czechia. Actually, the Swedish embassy in Prague and Swedish authorities use this English short or geographical version of the name frequently, even before our government's decision. So I think many people here were actually surprised that it wasn't already an official version before.
As Ms. Larišová from the Foreign Ministry pointed out, the sporting events would be ideal for promoting and using the shorter variation of the Czech Republic. Indeed, the head of the Czech Olympic Committee, Jiří Gejval, signed a memorandum with Foreign Minister Zaorálek, pledging to promote the name Czechia at top sporting events. I asked sports journalist Michal Petrák what he thought about the use of Czechia.
I think it is a good idea to use it because, you know, Czech Republic doesn't feel naturally. It's quite usual for other countries to use their one-word names, not their official names. Another question is how to make English-speaking public use it, and I think there is no way for this. It just has to happen naturally. It can't be forced upon someone or anyone can't be made to use it. So I think it's a long-term process. It's a long-distance run, and we can't expect results so soon after the official change.
And over the past 6 or 4 months, have you yourself noticed any change? Have you noticed that perhaps some of your foreign colleagues are actually using the term Czechia?
No, not really. I only noticed some articles in the English-speaking press at the time when the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs proposed to use this name. And these articles were like amused. So I think it wasn't what the Czech Foreign Ministry expected. But as I said, it has to happen naturally. And I can't remember any occurrence when I noticed that someone used the new word for the Czech Republic in the English-speaking countries or in German-speaking countries since it was proposed.
And you yourself, when you speak with your foreign colleagues and you speak about your country, which word do you use?
I still stick with the Czech Republic because I'm too used to it. And I think it will be the case with the colleagues as well. They are used to using the term Czech Republic or the Czechische Republik in German. It's like it can't get off my tongue to say Czechia all of a sudden because someone thought it would be a good idea. It has to come naturally, I think.
One person who seems unlikely to develop a taste for the word Czechia is Melvin Clark, a Czech-English translator based in Prague. Mr. Clark says he doesn't really see any reason to create an artificial shorter name for the Czech Republic, arguing that people can choose from the existing versions such as Bohemia or the Czech lands according to what best suits their needs.
Well, I'm afraid it sounds and looks too much like Chechnya for my liking, which is one of the reasons given by such Czech agencies as CzechTrade and CzechInvest for not using it when the Czech government tried to promote it in the past. But that's only one of several issues involved. It just strikes me as rather an unfortunate choice for an official name. Czechs complain that it looks somehow artificial or Eastern or Russian, or like, it reminds them of the Nazi German Czechai. My own pet theory, for what it's worth, is that there's this glaring dissonance between the guttural monosyllable of Czech, the K sound, and the rather ethereal ear sound, which makes the word look somehow like a kludge. Sometimes you just have to say that, for example, a bright purple suit looks silly without having to give scientific reasons or aesthetic justifications for it. And then there's also the issue that can't be ignored, that rightly or wrongly, again, some people here associate Czechia with rather controversial politicians who've been promoting it. Obviously, this doesn't help. So if the name makes so many Czechs feel uncomfortable, then can we really blame Anglophones for not picking it up and running with it?
Melvin Clark ending that report there by Ruth Frankova. And if you've got any opinions on the name Czechia, if you think it's good, bad or ugly, then you can get in touch with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely pleased to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnson, thanks very much for listening and goodbye.